And then within hours, they found out that their passports were fake from Switzerland. So it was, and they went back into it.
So France claimed responsibility.
They admitted responsibility.
They paid compensation in the end, didn't they?
They paid compensation to us and New Zealand.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't trust.
They've
don't.
never apologized.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, 30th anniversary is a good time.
I'm not waiting for it.
Don't trust, don't fear, don't beg. We have 10 seconds. Why the title?
It's Neverne Buisi Naprosi, a Russian phrase that the prisoners were told when they arrived how to survive jail. So their fellow cellmates said, don't trust because... don't trust the prison officers. That's disrespecting yourself. Don't fear, because that gets you nowhere. Don't beg, because no one ever begged their way out of jail.
Well, I want to thank you both for being with us. Don't trust, don't fear, don't beg. The extraordinary story of the Arctic 30 is by Ben Stewart, our guest. And thank you so much to Captain Peter Wilcox. That does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltzer, Mate, Nermin Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkoff, Hani Massoud, Rabbi Karen, Dina Gesler, Amy Littlefield. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Mate. Thanks for joining us.
This is Jazz. And this is Jazz. And this is Jazz. And contrary to popular opinion, great jazz in all its forms is still being played and recorded. On Jazz on the Air, every Sunday from 2:30 till 5 o'clock in the afternoon, each week brings a different host with a different perspective on the music, both old and new. Jazz on the Air, Sunday afternoons at 2:30 p.m. on WUSB Stony Brook.
And this is WUSB Stony Brook. The time is just about 6 o'clock. No concert billboard today, I'm afraid. So you'll just have to bear with Off the Wall 1 minute early. I'm here, haven't forgotten you, just working on a couple of things. I'll be starting the show in just a moment. Enjoy the music. Okay, this is going to be, I guess, the Cut Your Losses edition of the program. We're trying to get the delay machine working, but it doesn't work anymore. And unfortunately, that means we can't take phone calls. Blame the heat, blame the university, blame the inattention. I don't know. But that's the way it is. And I can't spend the entire hour trying to fix equipment instead of actually going on the radio. Wow. Okay, so... This is Emmanuel for Off the Wall. Kyle's not here. Kyle's back in Seattle. We were hoping to make contact with him, but we can't. He's busy. There's a few things spilled while he was away, and he's got to clean that up. And probably is taking a lot of time doing that. But we have some interesting plans ahead, as we mentioned in previous programs. I have an adventure that's going to be involving places like Alaska, places like Canada, and we can't say any more at this stage. But in a couple of weeks, we can say more. And suffice to say, everybody that this dwarfs anything that we've done in the past. Suffice to say, anyone we have actually told this to in strict confidence is completely blown away by what it is we're doing and saying, how can I do something like that? Why do you guys get to have all the fun? Well, we'll see. We'll see how much fun it is. And you'll hear the details right here on this program. And maybe on the national news as well. Who knows? So, yeah, okay, we won't be able to take phone calls. That's a shame. But there's plenty of things that we can talk about. Well, I can talk about, and hopefully you can listen. Send us email. Maybe next week the delay machine will be working. OTW@2600.com is our email address. And it's been fun this past week dealing with various mundane things. I went, had a doctor's appointment, and I got a prescription. Yeah, this is starting out to be a really interesting story, I know. But it just kind of, it illustrates something to me that I think we need to address. There are a lot of automatrons walking around amongst us. I don't know if you've ever actually met one. You know, just one of these walking robots. Well, actually, it's not really fair to robots because, well, some of them have some personality. Some of them have, creative programming. But the point is, they can't think on their own. And that's what I encountered when I went to, well, first of all, I was notified by computer that my prescription was filled. The doctor said, okay, I'm going to hit this button. That's going to send the command to the pharmacy. No humans were involved for a long time, so I can sort of understand how these things happen. Doctor was human, I think. Sent the prescription over. I got a call later from a computer saying my prescription was ready. Come on down. Came down to the pharmacy, walked up to the desk, said, hey, I'm here to pick up this prescription, after the guy said to me in a robotic voice, hello, how may I help you tonight? You know, it's like he's answering a phone or something instead of staring at me face to face. I said, okay, yeah, I'm picking up this prescription. This is my last name. This is how you spell it, et cetera, et cetera. Eventually, he found it and put it on the table and said, do you have any questions about this? And I said, well, no, I have a new insurance card. Thanks, Obama. And I'd like for you to check to see if that might lower the cost. Believe it or not, the last time I did this, I had a different insurance company. And by presenting the card to them, it actually raised the price. They didn't cover it. It just somehow raised the price of the prescription. So at the time, they asked, are you sure you want to do this? And I said, why would I want to do that? What possible advantage is that to anybody? So I asked, you know, can you just check to see if this might, I'm pretty sure it's not going to cover it because these days insurance doesn't kick in until many thousands of dollars down the road. And there's co-pays and there's minimums and premiums and co-insurance and all that. So by the time anybody actually gets around to chipping in something for this, the prescription will probably be finished. But could you just check and see if that's possible? I thought it would just take a second, but there was this whole big thing that got started as a result of that. It said, all right, please sit down while I have this checked. 20 minutes later, that's how long it took, just to see if the insurance would cover it. He comes up to the desk and calls out my name. I'm sitting right in front of him. Nobody else has come up. And he calls me like there's 100 people in the room. It's like, yeah, okay, here I am, still here. And insurance apparently was able to knock it down like a dollar or something like that. So I said, fine, all right, let's do that then. Do you have any questions about this matter? You know, you just asked me that 20 minutes ago when I came up here, and no one has been here since. You asked me that. You really don't remember asking me. Okay, what, you probably ask this question all the time, nonstop, with all these people, so I can kind of forgive that. Fine, not a problem. Went through the whole, you know, I could go into details about all the different little scripts that he was reading from inside his head. Well, you have to sign this now, and please slide your credit card at this point and sign now. Okay, fine. And finally, of course, the question, do you have a, and I'm not going to say the name of the drugstore because I don't want to either condemn them or give them free advertising. But do you have a drugstore membership or whatever? Loyalty card. Yeah, they call them loyalty cards. You know, like you're joining an army or something. Why would I be loyal to one drugstore over another? Why would I even want to think that? It's insane. And, you know, the thing is, people that have these loyalty cards, I've watched them. I've watched what they do. And they give their loyalty card over. And the loyalty card basically logs everything that they buy and stores it someplace. And I ask, okay, so how much did you save? Oh, I didn't save anything. What in God's name are you giving them the card for? Or your phone number if you don't have the card? What is the point? And people don't think this through. Sometimes you do get a discount of one sort or another, but many, many times you don't. It's just simply a way of checking in, I guess. It's, you know, I've tried to understand this. I've had conversations with people asking them why, and they kind of get a little edgy. I'm the one probing too deeply into their affairs. You have a store that's logging everything you buy and attaching it to your name and God knows what else, sending that information every which way they can, and you're good with that. Makes absolutely no sense to me. So, okay, the question was, do you have a drugstore loyalty card? No, I don't, and I don't want one. I wasn't obnoxious. I was polite throughout this whole thing, but in my head, it's like, I don't want one of these stupid things. I just want to get out of here. I thought I'd be able to come in here, pick up the prescription that the computer called me to say was ready, and I could be home by now, watching some mindless television. But no, I'm still here. And so we went through all that, and then I realized, you know, I brought up other things. The one advantage to doing things this way is that you don't have to wait on the long line in the front of the store, but you can bring some of your other items up to the cashier in the pharmacy. Except when the guy forgets to check them out, and I realized they were still there and they hadn't been checked out. So I said, this was after I already processed my credit card. These weren't checked out. Can you add those up? So we had to do another transaction. And what do you think he said to me? Do you have a loyalty card? I'm right here. I haven't even left the desk. I'm standing right in front of you. I haven't moved. A total of 30 seconds has passed since we last had this little conversation. Do I have a loyalty card? Do you not know how to deviate from the script even a little bit? It's scary. It is really scary how, I don't know what is going through someone's mind like this. And I really think there's a possibility that this is something Google is experimenting with. You know, they're doing the cars. They might be doing the humans, too. You know, they might have some, what do you call them, self-driving humans? No, basically just human replicants. Replicant. Yeah, that's a good word. And they're experimenting with them, putting them in places that they basically won't be noticed quite as readily until it's time. So, yeah, I didn't have a loyalty card a second time. You know, I should have said yes. I have one now. I got one. In the 30 seconds that I've been standing here, I somehow was able to get one just to see if there was any way I could surprise this guy. I doubt there would be. I'm used to having conversations like that on the telephone, you know, where you don't even know what you're talking to. Sometimes there are rumors going around that it's actually artificial intelligence that you're talking to when it sounds like a human. There are a few stories go out over the net sometimes saying, call this number and see, this person will say this when you say that. Of course, you know, with mindless drones who work in a call processing center and can't see any way out, it's pretty likely you can predict what they're going to say next. And the ultimate irony of all this is that the other day when I was going through my pockets, I realized, you know what? I never got my damn insurance card back from that guy. And God knows, is he going on a spending spree with my insurance card? Maybe, you know, that I would actually welcome that because it's a sign of something human. And sometimes you just need that. Sometimes you just need to do something really bad just to prove you're alive. Who said that? Somebody must have said that. All right. It's like Cool Hand Lukers. I don't know. Somebody must have said that. Okay. So that was, I don't want to call that an adventure. It really wasn't an adventure. It was just a typical thing that happens, maybe a little bit atypical as far as the extremity of it. But, yeah, that was if you know me personally, I'll tell you where the drugstore is and we can have fun. And sometimes there are people that you just like to experiment with and feed them certain lines and see what comes out, usually on the phone. But sometimes in those rare occasions, you find people in person that are interesting to study. Okay. What else is going on? Well, of course, every week there is some horrible thing that happens. a lot of horrible things that happen. But in this particular case, horrible things that happen as far as the cops and race relations and just bad news all around. And this time there was an incident. I get maybe three incidents sent to me via Twitter or email a day, literally. Some of them pan out, some of them don't. This one did. This one really, really did. I think you might have heard about it by now because some of these stories, as they say, get legs. And the one from McKinney, Texas, certainly did get legs. McKinney police said Sunday an officer has been placed on administrative leave after a Friday evening disturbance at the Craig Ranch North Community Pool that has created a buzz on social media. And it just seems like, you know, this is the only way to get something out there is to create a buzz on social media. If you don't do that, it's like it never happened. So this was basically spread around, and now people are finally talking about it. Police said the incident involved multiple juveniles at the location who did not live in the area or have permission to be there, refusing to leave. The ultimate offense. So basically, think about that statement right there, okay? Because we're going to analyze this a little bit. People who didn't belong in the neighborhood refusing to leave. I'm not seeing allegations of vandalism, violence, anything other than you don't belong here. And that's kind of like a touchy sentiment to be expressing. According to a statement from the police, nine units were dispatched after the first responding officers encountered a large crowd that refused to comply with police commands. Gotta tell you, I don't comply with commands. Requests, I'll consider. But police, you're working for me. You're working for the people. You don't command us to do things like you're a drill sergeant or something like that. And I can sort of see how that might have gone if you went to a crowd of kids and commanded them to do something. Hell, you probably can't even command your own kids to do something, let alone a crowd in a neighborhood where they're being told they don't belong. And yes, race does play into this because guess what? It was mostly an African-American crowd in a mostly white neighborhood, a gated community, if you will. Now, of course, that's not really what's raising concern. What's raising concern is the video that's being spread around showing a cop drawing his gun on these kids and throwing a young woman in a bikini to the ground and using profanity. Well, you know, profanity, so what? But you're a cop. You're supposed to, be the inspirational one. You're supposed to be the one that's the bastion of honor and all that. And using profanity kind of tells me you're not in control of the situation. So this has raised all kinds of questions. And I want to focus on some of the other reactions you might not have seen, because there are a bunch of those too. This one comes from a site called TheBlaze.com. And it's written by a guy named Matt Walsh. And I can't really read the whole thing because it's very, very long. But here's how it goes, and we'll take some breaks to analyze some of these words, because I think that needs to happen. The risk is that we read these things and we don't look at the real symptoms of the problem that we might otherwise just gloss over. I wish we could take phone calls so that we could analyze this together, but it wasn't meant to be, so you'll have to just bear with me. If you live near McKinney, Texas, and you like to party, you might have been aware of the Dime Piece cookout before it went down this past Friday. It was advertised heavily on Twitter for a full month leading up to the event, and organized by a professional promoter named Tatiana Rhodes. Rhodes is a grown woman who apparently, along with her mom, put together this party primarily as a means to sell tickets to another event, Make It Clap Part 2, which was supposed to happen in late June. You know, somehow, that paragraph right there, the way it's presented, makes you not want to like these people. A professional promoter named Titania, a grown woman, along with her mom. I don't know, there's something about it. None of those words, there's nothing wrong with any of those words. But the way that it's presented, you just know that somehow they're going to be blamed. Okay, so an event was organized by somebody. It was advertised for a month on Twitter, so people knew about this. Wasn't a surprise. All right, let's just continue, because there's more. This was a massive blowout held in a private community, fully equipped with a DJ, advertised on social media to hundreds of people, but never once cleared with the local homeowners association. Seems a bit odd, doesn't it? That somebody would just, randomly pick a neighborhood? It was also promoted as a pool party, hence the giant image of a pool on the flyer, even though the pool is off limits to non-residents, unless they are guests of residents. Residents have a limited number of friends they can invite. I'm not sure what the number is, but I assume it's somewhere south of 100. Okay, you know, what's left out of that? What's left out of the statement I just read? Anything indicating that anyone associated with this was a resident. But obviously that must have been the case. Because you're saying here that, well, residents certainly can't allow 100 people to show up. But there's nothing here indicating that somebody was indeed a resident. You're making it sound like all these people were intruders, were trespassers, didn't belong there at all. Nobody who lived there invited them, when that's not the case. Anyway, continuing here, the organizers claim they got permission, but the homeowners organization confirmed to local media that they neither sought it nor received it. Okay. I'm a little bit thrown off by that myself. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to read that sentence again, because I'm not really sure what I just said. The organizers claim they got permission, but the homeowners association confirmed that they neither sought it nor received it. Okay, what? Right there, do you see? I'm talking to the person who wrote this. Do you see how you're biased in your sentences? How about I read it this way? The organizers confirmed they got permission, but the homeowners association claimed to local media that they neither sought it nor received it. You see? You're kind of using verbs in a weird way, giving more credence to one side than another without having any evidence yourself. And you go on to say this fact is essential because it confirms two things. Again, confirming. Confirming based on what? How do you confirm that somebody didn't ask permission? How do you do that? One person is claiming that they asked permission. One person is claiming that they didn't. Or many people are claiming one thing. Many people are claiming another. This might be one of those things that is just not possible to confirm. Wrong word. Anyway, it confirms two things. The people who threw this party did not care about respecting the clearly outlined rules of the community. And they don't mind lying. Wow, some rather broad generalizations. And it kind of speaks to what I was worried about before. Where this professional promoter, grown woman, Tatiana, all those words were meant to color my perception and make me feel negatively towards them. And sure enough, here it is. Without any evidence whatsoever, Now I'm being told that these people do not respect the clearly outlined rules of the community, and they don't mind lying. Just try to picture those people in your head, you know? Close your eyes and picture them. What do they look like? Yeah, interesting. It's important to note that this was both designed and advertised as a loud and ruckus affair, held, again, without permission. Wait a minute. Again without permission? It only happened once. How could it be held again without permission? Unless you're making the same point twice and trying to make it seem like it happened twice. Important to note, this was both designed and advertised as a loud and ruckus affair held, again, without permission, in the middle of a community utilizing private resources right next to a private pool where parents bring their young children. Oh, my God. Wow. We must think of the children. These are juveniles. These are children, too. Different kind of children, perhaps. But come on already with the utilizing private resources in the middle of a community. Where do you think other people live? They live in the middle of a community, too. They have private resources as well. And they probably aren't as stingy when it comes to sharing them. Continuing. We're never going to make it through all this. We need 2 hours. It's also perhaps relevant that the partygoers were not innocent little children attending a Dora the Explorer-themed birthday bash at Chuck E. Cheese. Well, first of all, I don't think kids that do that are innocent by any stretch of the imagination. But second of all, these gross generalizations. Okay, but let's continue. These were teens looking to get drunk and hook up. How about you just stop at "these were teens," and you can basically try and figure out who was doing what and what their motives were. But to say "these were teens looking to get drunk and hook up," you basically label the entire group as one. These broad generalizations are at the root of all these problems that we have. Seeing people as a threat because of the way they look, because of how they act, because of where they come from, it always ties into all the same. They don't respect the rules. They don't mind lying. The liberal media, here we go. The liberal media. I guess that's me. I guess I'm the liberal media. But when you think about it, media by definition needs to be liberal because you need to question the status quo, not accept it. You know, that's why Fox News is not really media so much as propaganda. Yes, there's propaganda on the left as well. I know that. But when you don't question, when you just accept what particular leaders say and you don't ever fault them and you're always looking for enemies and they're always wrong, yeah, it stops being an open press at that point. But that's another show. The liberal media has since presented this as an innocent children's pool party. But I've never encountered a children's party where people go to meet fine-ass niggas. His quote, fine-ass niggas. Yeah, and this is basically all based on a single tweet by one person who said, "I hope I meet a fine-ass nigga at Dime Peace Cookout tomorrow." And that's your evidence right there. One person says something stupid, and you label an entire crowd based on that. That is basically the problem. You've definitely put your finger on the problem, but you've put your finger on yourself. These generalizations. You don't know the intent behind that statement. You know nothing about what the true meaning was or about what was actually happening. He goes on, "In fact, I've never heard of children's parties with terms like dime piece and make it clap in the title." Really? Okay. I guess that's just cultural differences. Make it clap? All right. For those mercifully uninitiated, the former is a slang term for attractive women. Dime as in a 10 out of 10 on the sexy scale. Wow, that's really evil. You've convinced me. I'd be afraid to go there. They're actually using numbers and a rating scale. Who does that? And, of course, peace is short for piece of ass. The latter, make it clap. Children, tune to the other station just for a moment while I explain this to the adults. Thank you. The latter, make it clap, refers to a girl twerking on the dance floor and making her butt cheeks clap together. You know, this is stuff that you see on Entertainment Tonight at 7:30. Is that show still on at 7? I don't know. I just remember that's when it used to be on. Everybody knows about this. This is not something that's unique to this particular gathering. These are kids being kids. But yeah, they're different, so they're scary. You don't see this kind of reaction when a football team wins or loses and kids of a different complexion go around burning cars and running down the streets causing mayhem. Because they belong there. Because it's their town. And nobody feels threatened. They're just letting off some steam. These kids didn't belong there. And that's true, you know. A private neighborhood. They want to keep people out. I guess it's their right to do that. But that's not the argument here. The argument is the reaction. The generalizations. The hatred. Why we have gated communities in the first place. Yes, you can charge people with trespassing for being in a place they're not supposed to be. But ask yourself, why do people want to be places they don't want to be? Are we building barriers that are unfair and make people feel like they're unequal and can never aspire to these things and creating all kinds of bitterness? Plus reinforcing these stereotypes in your own head. So we have an unsanctioned, heavily promoted, loud, sexually charged teen party right in the middle of a neighborhood filled with parents and children of all different races. Oh, yeah, I'm sure you looked really hard to find as many. What do you got? One-tenth Hispanic? Okay, you're Hispanic. This person looks black. We'll just call her black. And there's got to be some Native American blood in you. Fine, racially diverse. But you know what? I bet it's mostly white. I just bet it is. I don't know of many gated communities that aren't mostly white. Is that racist? Is that a racist? I mean, it's a generalization. I admit to it. Well, I'll eagerly look for evidence to the contrary. This party is being organized by people who have shown themselves to be both loose with the facts and unconcerned with respecting the peace, privacy, and rules of the community. And we have no adult supervision save for a few alleged grown-ups. Well, then that's adult supervision, isn't it? Alleged, what is an alleged grown-up who see no problem with a bunch of bikini-clad 14-year-olds? It's a pool party, for God's sake. You're going to have bikini-clad 14-year-olds playing the role of dime pieces. Well, you know what? Got news for you. This kind of thing happens in all cultures. Sexism is rampant and objectification. It's not a nice thing, but if you think it's limited to this one crowd or to this one race or to any particular group of people, you need to open up your eyes. Anyway, this is what the columnist Matt Walsh says is context. With this context, we can now take another look at the latest racial outrage surrounding this event in McKinney, Texas, over the weekend. You've likely been made vaguely aware of some butchered, half-cocked version of something that approximately resembles a few of the facts related to the incident in McKinney. Nevertheless, if you operate like so many in our country these days, you formed a full and unchangeable opinion on the matter. And if you're in that crowd, the oblivious and proud club, you know at some point during the dime piece party, cops were called. You know that amidst a lengthy attempt to control the mob, because that's what they are, a mob, and investigate the situation, a 7-minute sliver of a small part of the overall scene was captured on video. You know the footage shows Officer Case Bolt. Is that really his name, Case Bolt? Wow. I've never heard such a hardware-specific name. Officer Case Bolt, running around and yelling at a group of uncooperative teens. You know that he curses at the teens, no doubt causing lasting emotional scars by introducing them to the F word for the first time in their lives. Okay, sarcasm aside, I'll bet if it had been the other way around and the teens were cursing at the cop, you'd be condemning that. And I'm sure cops have been exposed to the F word too. It's just that when you're in a position of authority, you shouldn't act like a child. When you have a gun, you should be in control. When you're trying to address a crowd of people, you need to win them over, not turn them into your enemy. I mean, these are just such basic things. How does somebody get to be a policeman not knowing this? How is it that none of the other cops around this guy were trying to calm him down and say, hey, no need for a gun. Watch the potty mouth. Sit in the back of the car for a little while until your heart rate goes down a bit. This is not how to deal with this situation. You don't see that. All you see are cops backing each other up no matter what. And the only reason we're even talking about this now, the only reason this is news, is because somebody videotaped it. Those are the only instances that make the news, the ones that show what happened. It's no longer enough to simply say this happened. You have to have the evidence. So how many times do you think this sort of thing happens where there isn't any evidence other than the word of the person or a body someplace or a police record that no doubt is a bit biased? These things happen every day all over the place. And it's never entirely 100% one side or one group of people's fault. It's a combination of factors. But when you're supposedly in control of a situation, you bear more of the responsibility. Anyway, you know, I, like I said, I could read this for hours and analyze it for a while. But if you want to see the whole thing, go to theblaze.com. Read the article titled, Blame the Teenagers for What Happened to McKinney, Not the Police. I'd like to also devote some attention to an opinion piece that was in the Washington Post by Emily Badger. How the rise of gated spaces like swimming pools can quietly perpetuate racial tension. Absolutely. I mean, really? it's pretty obvious. As Yanni Applebaum points out over the Atlantic, this context is particularly freighted. For decades, swimming pools in America have been sites of racial exclusion. Many of the fights to desegregate communities and public resources in the 1950s were waged over access to swimming pools. Now, in that case, there were public swimming pools, but public only for one half of the public. One particular color, not the other. Well, now they're behind the fence, so it's different. It's behind the gate. So legally, you can keep those people out. You just got to keep them out of the community so that they can't be a part of that. Or if you do let them in the community, limited numbers. So that you don't have situations like this, which everybody fears, of having massive amounts of people with a different skin color in your pool. I mean, that's one of the American fears, isn't it? Anyway, the way they're used to this day still reflects a sweeping trend, more subtle in its exclusion, but no less pervasive, that arose from that era. As public resources were desegregated in American cities, communities increasingly found ways to privatize them. In McKinney on Saturday, the black teens were not using a public pool. They were swimming rather in the communal pool of a private community in the predominantly white part of town. Oh, I was right. I was right. How did I know? Oh, my God. I got it right. It was predominantly white. I'm very proud of myself. Civic resources like parks and pools are funded directly by homeowners. McKinney has 3 public pools, but none of them are in this part of town. We don't know what precisely happened Saturday before and after the moments captured on video, but for these black teens, the issue may not have been so much or solely their behavior as their presence at a pool where residents who called the police suspected they did not belong there. I'm sorry. I'm trying to read this piece, but for some reason, I'm just getting Facebook, Twitter, and all kinds of social media icons on top of the line. I assume that line is supposed to read, suspected they did not belong there. Apologies for that. The incident exposes the unspoken logic of gated resources. They are meant to give residents control over who's in the community that can use communal goods. Private community swimming pools do a good job of this. In this McKinney community, residents are allotted a few guest passes apiece. Really private pools in the fenced backyards of individual homes achieve this even more effectively. This exact same phenomenon has surfaced in many forms well beyond swimming pools. Americans have replaced or rather withdrawn from many of the public spaces and shared resources that were prominent in communities decades ago. And private schools have taken the place of public ones. Individually owned cars replace mass transit. Secluded yards supplant public parks. Communal plazas of all kinds, like malls, become privately owned public spaces where companies and property owners control who can access them. So that's something to consider. It doesn't change the situation that, you know, people are trespassing. They don't belong here. But when you try and understand what's actually happening, you might be able to deal with it a little bit better rather than think, okay, this is it. The race war has begun, which no doubt a bunch of people were thinking. They were scared. And you know, looking at this piece by Emily Badger was reprinted in our local paper, Newsday. And Newsday is not alone in this. Every comment board on just about every paper, maybe with the exception of the New York Times, has the most idiotic responses. It makes you think. If we're going to generalize, it makes you believe that most people are stupid, when that certainly is not the case. But let's just look at it. I only printed 5 pages of these reactions, and I haven't even read them yet. I just knew that they were going to be gold. I could have gone on for a lot longer, but I would just get too depressed. Let's look at the first one. You know what increases racial tension? The media, period. They tell half the story or leave out facts. It sells papers, increases viewers. That's all that matters to them. So what if the facts are wrong? People in this neighborhood, both white and black, have said these kids were way out of control and praised the police for their response. You don't see that in Newsday or on the evening news, though. That's right. There's a big conspiracy. Big conspiracy to turn this country black. Liberal media. Down with the police. All that. This article is absurd. I live in a homeowners association area with a private pool. All residents are allowed to use it regardless of color. Oh, wow. Very good. How about that? Wow. A letter from an enlightened person. So you're saying you live in an area with a homeowners association and you do not discriminate against people of color, of any color. All colors are welcome as long as they're within that's hats off. I am amazed. Anyway, if people are residents and they wish to use the pool, go ahead and have fun. If you are not a resident, sorry, find another pool to use. Why should non-residents reap the benefits of those that pay to install and maintain these pools? Okay, first of all, this was a one-time event that allegedly, and I don't know this for a fact, was given permission. Maybe it got a bit out of hand, but it was given, the organizers claim that they got permission to do this. Seems kind of weird to do this and not get permission if it's in a private neighborhood, but this is what they claim. It's not something, your swimming pools are not being overrun every day by crowds of people that don't belong there. This was a special event. Now, if the special event didn't belong there, deal with it after the event is over. Like I said, it's not going to be happening the next day. It's not going to be happening that evening. It's just that day. And then it was over. You know, I see a lot of parallels here with the whole citizenship charade going on. Why should we let Mexicans come across our border and get all the benefits? It's the same overgeneralization and hatred, and we're better. You stay away. Unless you want to cut the grass or something. Then go away. People taking advantage of us. And then, of course, these people start answering each other, the person saying that the media is the source of all racial tension. That's what they want to do. There is no one around to stop them without being called a racist. This person writes in, it's really getting out of hand. Many are wondering what will be the spark of the next big race riot on a national basis. Yeah, many are out there wondering right now. All these people that happen to agree with you, they're all wondering what it is that's going to spark the next big race riot. When was the last big race riot? You know, the fact that there hasn't been a race riot says an enormous amount about the level of forgiveness and patience shown towards the people that have put this country together. Next big race riot. Yeah. The media, the politicians, the so-called community leaders are all contributing to a cataclysmic confrontation that will set relations back between the good people of all races 100 years. So what, that'll get us back to what, 1915, World War I? Not seeing much of a difference. Everyone, including the media, needs to focus on the bad people of all races and deal with that both within the communities and support the police when police are involved. How about focusing on the bad police? When does that happen? Another comment here. The author is trying to manufacture a problem where there isn't one. It's not race that's the issue. It's money. There are well-off people of color in this nation, just as there are poor people of non-color. It's kind of related. It's kind of related because the proportions are way out of whack. And that contributes to feelings of entitlement, feelings of resentment. Here's another comment. I think the inherent problem is a lack of respect towards police officers by youths today. None of this would have occurred if the youths followed direction and kept their mouths shut. Yeah, I'm sure he'd love that. People just not talking back, not being all uppity and thinking they've got rights and shouldn't be yelled at and cursed at and had guns waving their faces, people thrown to the ground just for being someplace. Imagine if an actual crime was being committed. You know, even if you commit a crime, you still have rights. It doesn't mean you can be executed. And a lot of people will say, oh, it does. Shouldn't have done that. Then you wouldn't be dead. You see that kind of logic. And, you know, McKinney is not the most tolerant place in the world. That's one thing I've learned just by doing a little bit of searching. This took place actually not too long ago in the same exact community. There's a video of a rally at Fabian Middle School in a cafeteria. Sammy Hyman was involved. She said, the school said we were causing a disruption. Her campaign was for a friend who she said was bullied for her sexual orientation. So she made 15 to 20 shirts that read, gay okay. That's what the shirt said, gay okay. We sat there quietly with our shirts on, not causing any commotion. But the Fabian administrators called out the 15 to 20 students in the cafeteria, asked them to remove the shirts. While we respect student free speech, our primary obligation is to ensure a safe and productive learning environment, said a McKinney Independent School District spokesman. We refused to change when they told us we had an option to change or leave. We didn't change. She said those who refused to remove the gay OK shirts were sent home. The district said there was no other discipline. Meanwhile, Sammy's mother was called into the office and given a copy of the school's dress code. She was told the shirt was a clear disruption, but She said administrators were responsible for any disruption. They were trying to prevent the situation from happening, but they ended up causing the situation to happen. The students say the rally inside the cafeteria happened only after students were called up and singled out by administrators. On the cell phone video, you can hear some chanting, "Gay okay," while others were heard chanting, "Gay isn't okay." Well, I think that's the reason why you have to have shirts that say that. And the fact that administrators feel that the problem is people that bring this up, that call attention to it, that shows you just how serious the problem actually is. So McKinney has a lot of work to do as a neighborhood. And they're not alone. They're not the only ones. I have a pile of other examples here, but guess what? We are out of time, unfortunately. You can write to us, otw@2600.com, and send us your thoughts. And please, feel free to disagree. Feel free to raise other points. Feel free to continue sending more examples of these things that happen, no matter where they happen. And we'll be happy to discuss them, hopefully on a show where we can take phone calls. Maybe that will be next week. Again, otw@2600.com. We'll see you next week. Have a good night.